In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we bought this, when we were redoing the front of our church here last summer, when we bought this body of Christ, it was used, so to speak, which sounds odd to say about wood sculpture of Christ, but it was used. It had been used somewhere else. We don't know where, but it had been displayed somewhere else. So when we got it, it was kind of dirty, and we knew we were going to have to refinish it. Well, originally, this sculpture of Christ was painted, and so there was red paint for, you know, under the wounds. The wound in his side and the nail marks in his feet and his hands, there was red paint for blood coming from the wounds. So anyway, we had to get it stripped and refinished, so that all went away. Well, in that process, one thing, sadly, that we lost was the wound on his side. From where you're sitting, you can't see it at all. You can't even see that there is a wound there, but there is. And if you're taking communion in a few minutes on that side, you can look up and you can probably barely make it out. But actually, I think we probably need to do something about that. So if somebody wants to talk to me about that, it would just be a little paint or mark somehow so that we can see that wound. And you might say, well, why in the world is that important? Well, that is the question of our gospel reading today. Why is that important? And you can tell, for these 11 disciples, it seems to be pretty important. They want to see those wounds. So why? Why are they so important? And even to go a little deeper than that, you may have wondered, why does he even have the wounds after he's resurrected? Why weren't they gone? You know, he's risen from the dead, perfect, glorified body, but he's still got the scars. Why is that? Now, the nice thing about this question, I think we all know the answer to this. I believe we absolutely know. We don't even have to think about it that long. And many of you are very familiar, if you have kids or grandkids especially, you're very familiar with the Cars movies. And you probably also know the character Mater very well. Mater is the old rusty tow truck with his hood missing. And he looks, you know, like he should have been put in the junk heap a long time ago. Well, in the second movie of that, of Cars, they're going to get rid of Mater's dents. They're going to get him, buff them all out. And of course, he says, no way, right? You're never taking my dents, because why? They're too valuable. And he says, all those dents, every one of those dents tells a story, and he wants to remember the stories. Well, we all kind of know that. The scars, the wounds, tell stories. Well, how much more is it then with Jesus? His wounds tell a very important story. We do not want them gone, because those wounds tell of how he paid the price that we owe for our sin. Remember what Isaiah says, he was wounded for our transgressions. Those wounds are important. And notice, again, these disciples, how interested they are in the wounds. Very important. Not just Thomas, we'll talk about him in a minute, but all of them, when Jesus appears, this is first and foremost on their minds. We want to see those wounds. Now, if you just give yourself a little bit of time, think about that. Why did it matter so much to them? Right? Why didn't they just say, oh, Jesus, give me a hug? Or shake, Jesus, I want to shake your hand. Why I need to see your wounds? And the answer's right in front of us. Why? Because they did not believe. They didn't believe. They needed something to take them from not believing this to be able to believe it. And what is that? It's wounds. They want to see the wounds. Now, if you've ever wondered, I know you have, if you've ever wondered why do people not believe in Jesus, well, here you go. You've got his best guys, the top recruits, the top 11. They've been with him for 3 years. He's told them at least 3 times this was going to happen. And none of them believe. Now, Thomas is the most dramatic. You know, he's not there the first night. And then when they tell him, hey, we've seen Jesus, then he says, unless I see those marks, unless I stick my finger into those nail marks, unless I thrust my hand into his side, I will never believe, he says. He doesn't just say, I'll not believe. I will never believe. He's very emphatic about it. And his words are so graphic, right? I don't just want to see them. I want to stick my finger in them. So, it's almost like you get the feeling like he's a doctor or something. Like he's maybe a mortician. You know, this, I'm going to examine the body. And if I like what I see in the body and I believe that this is truly Jesus, okay, then I'll believe. And if you don't think the wounds are a big deal, then just look at what happens to Thomas. This is the guy, right, who goes from saying, I will never believe, then when he puts his hands on the wounds, he says, my Lord and my God. That's what these wounds do. That's why they're important. They take us from not believing to believing. They're not just marks on Jesus, but they also make a mark on us. So first, I'm going to come back to how they mark us. But let me just quickly remind you, how did those wounds impress the disciples? What happened to them after this? Remember, here they're cowering in a room, scared for their lives. But just 50 days later, what are they doing? Do they run away from Jerusalem, hide out for the rest of their lives, you know, trying to save their hides? Just 50 days later, they're standing up in front of Jerusalem, preaching in front of everybody that Jesus is risen from the dead. That's the impression that these wounds make on them. Right? This is the mark it leaves on them. Never do they lock themselves in a room again. Never. Now, they will be locked in a room because they'll be locked in prison plenty of times. But never do they specifically hide themselves again. Never are they afraid to preach about Jesus again. That's the impression. Now, I think it will be a little helpful if you just think about this word for a minute, impression. We use this word all the time. We talk about make a good impression, first impression, this kind of stuff. Okay? So what does the word impression actually mean? It literally means to press into. So the nails made an impression on Jesus. They were pressed into his hands and feet and left a mark, a scar. Same way with the sword. It was pressed into his side and left an impression, a mark, right? So when Jesus appears to his disciples these two different times, he makes an impression on them. He presses something into them. And notice how literal it is. They press their fingers and hands into his wound, and he presses his Holy Spirit into them. Jesus makes an impression. Now, you and I, in one way, we would like, at least I would, I don't know, maybe I think you all would, I would like to be able to be there in person. I would like to be able to physically examine Jesus myself. That would be nice. To have him here in person, I can see his wounds, look at his hands, his feet, and say like Thomas, my Lord and my God. But we can't do that. Okay? He has ascended into heaven, and we won't see him bodily again until he comes on the last day. But Jesus, see, has another way to mark you and me. He has another way to leave an impression onto us. So remember how this goes. Thomas touches the wounds, says, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus says, wait a minute. Have you believed just because you've seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Why have you and I believed? Because Jesus has impressed us with his word. And John, that's what's so wonderful about this reading. It's explained so well. John, the Apostle John who wrote it, says now, hey, I wrote this. These are written. He said, now Jesus did all kinds of other things in front of us. But I wrote these so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This word of God is meant to impress you, to make a mark on you, to just like Thomas, to take you from not believing to believing. Now, the Holy Scriptures, you know, like I said, you can't physically touch his wounds, but you have the next best thing. You have the guys that were there and saw his wounds and touched them. They wrote it down and said, these are written for you to believe, for Jesus to make his mark on you. So the way Jesus marks you and I and leaves an impression on us is with his word. When Jesus shows his wounds to his disciples, what do they say? What does he say right before it, right after it? He says, peace be with you. Because that's what those wounds are about. That's why they're important. Not only that we believe, but that we believe those wounds give us peace. The forgiveness of all our sins, right? He was wounded for our transgressions. Now, one more thing about the wounds, as you will remember, when Jesus wanted to make sure he was dead, so they were going to break his bones. Well, excuse me, they wanted to speed up his death, so they were going to break his bones. But they get to Jesus, they find out he's already dead. Well, to make sure, they stick a spear in his side. And what comes out of the side? We remember because it's so odd to hear it read all the time. What comes out of his side? Blood and water. And that's not a coincidence. You know, that's not just by accident. This was God's plan. And we heard in the epistle today, 1 John is explaining this, all of this to us. He says, there are three that testify to you. Because you weren't there, you couldn't be there and touch his hands and side. So there are three that are witnessing to you. The Spirit, the blood, and the water. The Spirit, the Word of God. The water, holy baptism, and the blood, holy communion. This is no accident. These are the witnesses, the testimonies, and they all agree, they all give the same testimony, that this Jesus who died on the cross died for your sin, for your peace, for your forgiveness. So all three of them agree. Once again, to clarify, you and I cannot physically touch his wounds. We cannot physically be impressed by them. But Jesus has given another way to mark you, to impress upon you himself, and it's his word. His word that he, whether it's read, preached, heard, whatever, the Spirit works through the word connected with the water of holy baptism, and the word connected with the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. In these ways, Jesus marks on you this truth that Christ died for your sins and that he rose from the dead so that you, like Thomas, can just stand in awe and say, my Lord and my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.